Thank you. Appreciate that. My name is Elizabeth Clark. I'm an associate director of the International Center for Law and Religion Studies, located here at the law school at BYU. And we're delighted to have you here. Thank you for making time out of your summer. I have one or two ministerial announcements in addition to the overflow in room 2295. Those of you who are seeking to obtain continuing legal education credit, you'll need to sign the rolls for every session that you attend. Those are held at the registration desk. We'd like to give a special word of thanks to Zions Bank, which is sponsoring our conference this week, and we're so grateful to them. I'd also like to recognize Sandy Jolly, the new U.S. Commissioner for International Religious Freedom, who's joining us. We're grateful for her joining us and her presence. I'd like to introduce our first welcomer, Brett Scharfs, who is the Francis R. Kirkham Professor of Law and the Director of the International Center for Law and Religion Studies. He has a distinguished career. He was a graduate of Georgetown University. He received a BSBA in International Business and MA in Philosophy. He was a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, Yale Law School, has a very distinguished background, has written extensively in the field of law and religion. And with his work here at the center, he's been involved in our efforts in Asia, organizing certificate trainings at Peking University, Vietnam National University, has taught at several Indonesian universities, and Adelaide School of Law in Australia. In addition to that, he's a remarkable human being and a pleasure to work with. I'll give the floor to him.
My job this morning is easy. I get to mostly express thanks, first to Elizabeth Clark, who has chaired the organizing committee for this conference, to BYU Conferences and Workshops for their partnership and their professionalism. I want especially to thank our student fellows. We have about 16 student fellows who are spending half of the summer out on field placements around the world as interns working on law and religion issues, and the other half here at BYU helping us on a variety of research and writing projects. And they have helped enormously, and you'll feel their presence and their effort over the next 2 days. I'd also like to thank our distinguished slate of presenters who have come from a variety of places during their summer vacation and are here to share their expertise and their knowledge with us. I'd also like, of course, to thank all of you who have come to attend. It's great to see some familiar faces, new faces, and we're appreciative of your choosing to spend some of your summertime here with us. I'd like to tell you just a little bit about the International Center for Law and Religion Studies. Our mission is to help secure the blessings of freedom of religion and belief for all people. And this is an audacious task, but it's modified by the word help. We understand that our role will be small. It is important that our mission extends to all people of all beliefs, both religious beliefs and non-religious beliefs. The rights of conscience, the rights to choose the deepest paths to follow in our lives is something that's important to all people in all places. We seek to achieve this mission in three ways. The first is by expanding, deepening, and disseminating knowledge and expertise. This is done largely through conferences, through publications, and through conversations. It happens in venues like this today. The second is facilitating the growth of networks of scholars, experts, and policymakers. Religion touches the law, and that is the intersection where we focus our work. We hope also that this second prong of our mission will be facilitated in our work over the next 2 days. And the third is contributing to law reform processes. That's not a direct ambition of our meetings here, but we hope that one of the benefits of our gathering is that many of us, all of us perhaps, will be empowered to be more informed citizens and more capable of entering into civil and constructive discourse on important issues relating to religion. I'd like to say a word about each of the components of our name. We're the International Center. Since our founding in 2000, January 1st, 2000, the center has sponsored or participated in conferences and law reform efforts in over 300 countries. I'm sorry, that's not possible, is it? More than 300 conferences in 60 countries. And each year we participate in literally dozens of conferences, both here in the United States and around the world. Secondly, we're a center. This means that we come together as a group of people, scholars and administrators, who working together can accomplish more than any single individual scholar or administrator working alone could do. We're a center for law and religion. The center's work focuses on the intersection of law, where practical, workable, and enforceable solutions are sought for pressing social issues, and religion, where the deepest questions of life, meaning, humanity, and truth are examined and lived. Religion, as we know, is a controversial and sometimes delicate topic. What we find is that by focusing on law and religion, we can enter into much more practical and problem-solving efforts than if we were talking in a more abstract way. Finally, we're the International Center for Law and Religion Studies. Our center's approach is primarily academic. We do occasionally engage in advocacy efforts, for example, in amicus briefs before the United States Supreme Court, but for the most part, we view our mission as bringing people together to discuss shared problems from a variety of perspectives. And so, for example, when we work as comparativists, we don't enter a country with a blueprint of the right way for that country to solve a problem. Rather, what we will do is we'll enter a country with a set of experts from a variety of places who have grappled with the same problem, and we try to learn from each other. I'd like to say just a word about our institutional affiliations. In a moment, I'll be introducing our Associate Dean for Faculty and Curriculum, Christine Hurt, who will tell you a little bit more about the J. Reuben Clark Law School. But one of the strengths that we have as a small center is being part of a dynamic and strong law school. J. Reuben Clark was a diplomat, a statesman, and a religious leader. And he may be most remembered for a conference address he gave entitled "To Them of the Last Wagon," where he encouraged all of us to be mindful of the pioneers who were not in the vanguard at the front, where the air was clear and the view was extensive, but to be sympathetic to those of the last wagon, those whose oxen were a little weaker, whose wagons needed repair, who followed faithfully. And I can think of no greater name to have on our law school than this great man, who encouraged us also always to be mindful of those in the last wagon. And this is important in the area of law and religion as well, because generally it is the weak, it is minorities, it is people who are misunderstood, who don't have political power, who need the protection of religious freedom and other important political and social rights. And so the study and the advocacy of freedom of religion is, for the most part, the advocacy of the rights of minorities, of those who do not have the political power, the economic power, and the wherewithal to win and take care of their interests in the political forum. Second, we are part of Brigham Young University. It's a wonderful strength for us as a small law school We only have a few over 400 students to be part of a strong, vibrant, thriving university of over 30,000. Not only does this give us great institutional resources, but it also gives us tremendous social resources of faculty from other disciplines, from students from across the campus who sometimes come and join us in the study of law. Finally, we're sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Brigham Young University is owned and operated by a church. And this is significant because although our mission is to promote freedom of religion and belief for all people in all places, it is easy to do that institutionally from a place where the value of religion and the value of religious freedom is understood deeply. It will come as no surprise to most in this audience that religious freedom is a topic that has been on the minds of leaders and apostles and prophets of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And for us to have that affiliation gives us strength because people understand immediately who we are and why we care so deeply about these issues. Religious freedom, of course, is deeply in the DNA of Latter-day Saints, not just because of our pioneer heritage and experience of religious persecution, but also doctrinally. Not only is it found in the Articles of Faith, but if you think to the Council in Heaven and the very foundations of LDS theology, the contest in that council was between a plan of compulsion and a plan of human agency. And the plan of human agency, we believe, was the plan of God the Father and was implemented through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so this devotion to the idea, to the principle, to the deep importance of religious freedom is something that we feel not just based on contemporary events, not just based upon the history of the church, but based upon the deep theology of the church. And we believe that nearly every religious tradition similarly has resources within that tradition to find arguments that will be persuasive to those within those traditions and even to those outside those traditions of the importance of religious freedom. So let me again thank you for being here with us, and let me now introduce Dean Hurt. Professor Christine Hurt joined the BYU faculty as the Rex J. and Maureen E. Rawlinson Professor in the fall of 2014. Prior to that, she was a professor of law and director of the program in business law and policy at the University of Illinois College of Law. Her teaching and research focuses on securities regulation, corporate tax, microfinance, torts, and business associations. She's also taught at Marquette, at the University of Houston, and at Texas Tech University School of Law. She is currently the Associate Dean of Faculty and Curriculum, and so I'm very grateful to her because that's the job I held before becoming Director of the International Center of Law and Religion Studies on May 1st. Please join me in welcoming Dean Hurt.
Thank you, and thank you to Brett for that very nice introduction, and also just a very nice framing of today's conference and the importance of it in today's world. So as Brett said, my name is Christine Hurt, and I'm the Associate Dean for Faculty and Curriculum at BYU Law School. And so on behalf of the law school, I'd like to welcome you here today. Our dean, Gordon Smith, is in Europe today, but he asked me to convey to you his warm wishes for the 2016 Religious Freedom Annual Review. I was trying to think during this week what I should say in my remarks, and they will be brief, in my brief remarks, to help open this important conference. I felt like I needed to convey to you how important the issue of religious liberty and religious freedom is today, in this time period, as we say here in this dispensation, with the monthly, weekly, almost daily clashes in the world that seem to be fueled by animus both against certain religious groups and passion in the name of religious groups. Of course, these issues are centuries old, but somehow seem very sharp today. I returned yesterday from a family trip in which my husband and I, we wanted to take our children to Europe for the first time, and we were there for 3 weeks, and it was a wonderful time for us to be together as a family, but also to sort of show them the world, or at least a corner of it. As we were wandering through museums and castles and monuments and telling stories and trying to fill in facts with our kids, it was just a reminder that the history of Britain and the history of Europe as a whole is a history of religious persecution and a history of religious wars. But time and culture, right, movies, cartoons, books, songs, have made some of those historical moments seem almost quaint, romantic. But modern issues, modern violence, modern tragedy reminds us that the reality is anything but quaint. But of course, you all know this. That's why you're here. And you're the experts, the scholars, the practitioners, the policymakers, and the witnesses of the urgency of religious freedom issues today. I'm a mere corporate lawyer, as Brett said. My teaching and research focuses on corporate law, securities, tax. But even my business colleagues had an opportunity to join in this conversation when a Supreme Court religious freedom case involved a lowly for-profit corporation. So I will leave to you, the experts, and our distinguished panelists, to frame the issues of this, as I've said before, really important conference. You are the experts on today's challenges in religious freedom, challenges for individuals, institutions, political states, and even lowly commercial organizations. But know that at BYU, we are intensely interested in and invested in these issues, as Brett reminded us, both historically, doctrinally, academically, and practically. Here at the law school, we're indebted to the work of the center, the International Center for Law and Religion Studies, to the work of Brett Scharfs, Cole Durham, Elizabeth Clark, and everyone who furthers this work. So, as you all know, today's discourse on these matters in the public sphere suffers from a lack of learned, thoughtful, and reasoned voices. Thank you for being those voices, and I hope you have a very wonderful day. Thank you.